Hey guys, welcome to the Cloud Computing Weekly Podcast, your one-stop for news, information, and expert advice around the emerging world of cloud computing. This podcast is brought to you by Cloud Technology Partners in partnership with our host, TechTarget. This is episode 14. My name is Dave Linthicum. I'm Cloud Computing SME, author, speaker, B-list geek, and with the firm Cloud Technology Partners. And joining me is my colleague, Mike Cavas. Mike is VP Principal Architect, Cloud Technology Partners, analyst at Virtualization Practice in GigaOm, and advisor to two startups. Mike is the author of Architecting the Cloud, Design Decisions for Cloud Computing Service Models, Infrastructure as a Service, Platform as a Service, and Software as a Service. Man, that's a mouthful. From Wiley, which is expected to be released in late 2013. Congratulations on the book. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, Dave. Long time no see.
Mike and I were on trains, planes, and automobiles this week, and lots of rental cars and lots of Amtrak trains up and down the East Coast. So anyway, events coming up. We got Interop coming up in September. I believe that's the first week in October, I think. I think it kind of splits September, October. Mike and I will be speaking there. That's in New York City. And reInvent, I don't think I'm going to make that one, but there's going to be a bunch of cloud technology partner people there, and I think in a booth as well. So make sure to find us there at those events. And looking forward to talking to you about what you guys are doing in the world of cloud computing. So, you know, it's funny, in looking at kind of the news stories for this podcast, and by the way, I apologize for missing Monday. We just got too busy in getting some projects started, so I had to kind of push to the end of this week, but we'll be back on time next week in terms of the podcast. So the first story I thought was actually kind of strange. Evidently, this is a story by Barb Darrow, who I love reading. SEC questions if IBM's cloud math is water vapor. And the way IBM accounts for revenue from its various cloud computing efforts is subject to Securities and Exchange Commission investigation, according to the company's just released 10-Q filing. IBM said it is cooperating with the investigation, which launched in May. So we got this thing going on where cloud washing has been, you know, cloud washing is kind of this phenomenon where people, you reposition everything and anything that they have in their technology portfolios cloud, because cloud computing is cool, cloud computing is hyped, cloud computing can actually, if you're in the cloud space, bring more value. So you're worth more as a cloud technology company than you are as a traditional technology company. So that kind of leaves the door open for lots of companies to reposition lots of stuff that probably doesn't resemble anything like cloud computing as cloud computing, and they reposition their revenues as cloud-based revenues when in essence they're kind of traditional computing respun. Now, there's kind of two sides of this story, Mike. So number one, you know, is it, you know, in doing this, you know, is this an issue where the government should get involved and tell them exactly how to report cloud revenue and not cloud revenue? And the other thing is, how the heck does the government know cloud revenue or not cloud revenue? What do you think?
Well, the government's had a challenge getting involved with a lot of things, so it's hard to answer that question. I just don't know how the government even understands what cloud is. You know, hardly anyone in the industry really understands what cloud is, so I don't know how government can come in and regulate it. But what I do see, and it's, you know, this isn't just with cloud, but with every new technology, everyone's got to go in and pad their numbers, because the big corporations, you know, they want to go with a vendor who has experience and real success stories in the cloud. So people like to taint these success stories and call everything cloud right now.
Yeah, and I think IBM's holding fast to what they're looking to do. I mean, they just bought SoftLayers, and I think they bought SoftLayers to gain additional cloud revenue and therefore gain additional value. But their new CEO, is it Ginni Rometty, Rometty, has held fast to the cloud and services strategy set forth by your predecessor has an aggressive goals for the business. And basically, they're getting into cloud services. They're going to start selling SoftLayer, aggressively. And according to them, it's going to contribute $7 billion to the bottom line in 2015. So evidently, going to grow the heck out of the business. They're definitely in the cloud space. I guess what the government is saying is how much in the cloud space there is. You know, for example, like SAP. You know, they're often, you know, they're definitely spinning their cloud story, but it's a very minuscule amount of their revenue that's, you know, actually directly related to cloud computing technology. And you pretty much can say that about most of the enterprises out there. most of the large enterprise software companies out there. So do you think this is something that's ever going to resolve itself? Do you think the government should, you know, get involved in this kind of stuff? And do you think we should pay attention to it as cloud computing analysts, cloud computing experts?
Well, as analysts, we should pay attention to everything, but I don't know the government should get all that involved. I mean, it's important that companies put out accurate revenue numbers, but I don't know how important it is to say, well, this much was in BPM and this much was in cloud and this much was in, you know, other technologies. I don't know real how important that is.
Yeah, and like we said, it's tough to figure out, you know, where cloud computing exists. And I think the government trying to figure out, you know, lots of luck. I think everything and anything is kind of called cloud these days. And I really can't push back on it too hard because it's cloud computing is this amorphous concept that kind of relates to all things in different ways. And we kind of came up with it unto itself. Now, if they were reporting infrastructure as a service revenue or platform as a service revenue, and they didn't really have anything that resembled that, you know, maybe the government would have an issue. But, you know, spinning cloud, I think it's fair game. I mean, cloud washing, don't agree with it. But I can't necessarily, you know, fault people for doing it, kind of considering the marketing angle of it. And I certainly, in this case, can't fault IBM. But the government's looking into it, which is interesting. So next story, take that. Amazon ProfitBricks cuts cloud pricing. And so last week, Cloud Sigma. This week, ProfitBricks, it's now put its cloud pricing on the chopping block and basically reducing pricing up to 50% in some instances. And ProfitBricks, as you guys may recall, is a German-based company headquartered in Boston, which pitches its view of scale-up cloud instances paired with fast InfiniBand connectivity and basically as an infrastructure as a service provider, which is an alternate to AWS. Here's what's going on in the market, Mike, and you and I talked about this week. There seems to be a race to the bottom for everybody who's competing with Amazon. So Amazon seems to be so strong and has an offering that is, you know, doesn't seem to have any chinks in the armor too much these days. And ultimately, it is driving fits with the other infrastructures as a service providers that are competing with Amazon. The only way they can compete is to lower prices, which seems to be, you know, they may be spinning in. If you think about, if I'm reducing prices, then ultimately there's less profit to kind of put back into my business, and it kind of becomes kind of a death spiral into itself. Do you think that's what's occurring now in the marketplace?
Yeah, and the challenge is a lot of these infrastructures and service providers are several years behind Amazon, and what they really need to be doing is investing in R&D and adding more features more rapidly. And if they're going to play a price game where their product's nowhere as close to as robust as Amazon's, I don't see how they could win that battle.
Yeah, and I think it's feature function, you think price, you think pervasiveness, you think support in the business, you also think investment in the investment in the infrastructure. So at the end of the day, if you're going to compete, you have to have either the investment, which is going to carry you forward 3 or 4 years at a much more lower price, and or the ability to kind of out-innovate Amazon. And I don't see that happening right now. If I'm lowering prices, I'm not out-innovating anybody. I'm basically just trying to make my technology more attractive by increasing the value that it's going to bring to the enterprise by reducing my price, but therefore less revenue that comes into the company, less money that's available for, you know, R&D and innovation efforts, things like that. And it just seems to be a losing proposition. But I can understand where they're coming from. There may not be, if they do not have the ability to kind of invest in the space to drive around Amazon, which is the issue, then lowering prices may be the only alternative that they have. So you need to be a PhD, this is according to Barb Darrell again, with a spreadsheet to assess cloud pricing between providers, but comparing ProfitBricks' new pricing to its existing model, the company cut price on CPU cores by 50%, RAM by 50%, and dropped all charges on inbound networking. And this is according to an official from the company. So do you think that Amazon is rate should declare success right now? A lot of these guys are, you know, in essence, you know, dropping prices as quickly as they can. Or you think it's still these guys are still in the game, Mike?
Well, I don't think you can ever declare success. I mean, look at Microsoft. They declared success several years ago on the desktop, and now the desktop's irrelevant or becoming irrelevant. But Amazon's sure looking good. They're in a great position, and I think, you know, their competitors dropping costs to compete with them only helps Amazon.
Yeah, and it's not just them, right? It's almost every infrastructure as a service provider out there is doing the same thing, you know, dropping prices as quickly as they can. So it'll be interesting to see the way this thing, Mark, you know, bears out in the next few years. I mean, a lot of these guys are going to get bought. There's going to be fewer infrastructure as a service players out there. I think there's going to be fewer infrastructure as a service players entering the market for good reason, just because of the massive players in the space that'll make you irrelevant very quickly. And they don't seem to be playing the innovation game. They seem to be playing the just cut prices game and kind of hope for the best. And I think that's a bad strategy, unfortunately. So it's going to be an interesting time in the next few years, especially if Amazon continues the momentum. You know, suddenly we're going to have a major player in the market, you know, that's going to dominate the majority of the space. But I think that's a foregone conclusion anyway. Do you agree, Mike, or do you think other players can kind of come from behind and give Amazon a run for their money? Perhaps HP.
Well, I think if anyone can give them a run, it's probably, you know, Google. But they've got such a head start. I mean, I see presentations from other cloud providers all the time, and they're just so many years behind. And, you know, Amazon has so many people and so much talent. It's just going to be hard to close the gap. I mean, the other side of it is, you know, there's also a private cloud opportunity. So there'll be some winners on the private side. But on the public side, I think Google's really the only one that could compete.
Yeah, and according to an article 3 or 4 months back, evidently, someone who left Amazon says that Google's the one they're concerned about internally within Amazon. You think that's where they should focus their competitive market positioning?
I think they should just keep focusing on what they're doing, because everyone's doing is just trying to copy them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Amazon doesn't seem to be making too many mistakes. I think they're laser focused on dominating the market, which I think they're doing already, and I think they're going to grow by leaps and bounds. And you know, as we talk to more people and more clients, you know, that's on top of their list. You know, in terms of looking at infrastructure as a service providers, as well as, you know, platform as a service providers in some cases, and the ability to kind of bring their platforms. So Amazon's doing a lot of stuff right, and unless they stub their toe, which I doubt they're going to do. The dominance is going to continue, and their competitors are going to have to drop their price to remain competitive. And it's going to shake out pretty quick, because eventually they're going to run out of runway. They run out of money. So one of the dirty little secrets around cloud computing, Mike, is that when people migrate information to the cloud, you would think there's some high-tech approach to sitting down and uploading, you know, say, you know, terabytes of data, you know, into the cloud service to get the thing initially going. But it's funny, the way most people transfer information to the cloud is via disk drives and Federal Express or the U.S. mail. And so if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. In fact, a lot of people who are migrating into the cloud, they go down to Costco and they'll buy 20 or 30 USB drives, fill them up, put them in a box, off they go to the cloud computing provider, and they're loaded directly in the cloud system, because it's just too much information to transmit over the open internet. So for $60, this company called iDrive will send you a terabyte drive to load up with your stuff and ship back to its cloud. They encrypt the data as well as in case it gets lost in the mail, which is kind of cool. And the service is similar to the one that Amazon Web Services launched in 2009 that allowed corporate customers to upload data. But you'd think that for 4 years later, we'd have a better upload speeds, and we're still doing things over the U.S. mail or Federal Express. And iDrive is a company that's basically set up to do this for you. So we're at a point where information moving from enterprise into the cloud, at least in mass movement, it's still more economical to put it on a physical disk than it is to ship it up over the link. So do you think we're ever going to get to a point where it's more economical to ship it over the link than it is the physical drive, or is this going to be the way things are going to happen for some time?
I think they're going to have to come up with an alternative, and I don't know the answer. I mean, especially for those companies trying to do big data things where we're talking about terabytes upon terabytes and even petabytes, I mean, I don't know if there'll ever be enough connectivity to do it. There just has to be another delivery method, and I don't know I have the answer for it right now. But there's nothing secure about sticking things on devices and sending them outside your shop.
Even if you encrypt them?
Well, it adds a level of security, but still, there's stuff going outside your door, and eventually every single encryption algorithm gets broken by somebody. And so you're always improving encryption, right? Because someone always figures out the latest. So
Yeah, that's true. Well, the average upload speed in the United States is 5.29 megabits per second. And evidently, that's just too slow. Of course, I think most enterprises that are supporting a cloud are going to have something well over that. So I think they're just doing an average. But I think this is going to be reality for some time, because it's as we do more migrations into the cloud, the data is the biggest piece that needs to move. They're moving at least a terabyte of information, in some case, petabytes of information. In the next few years, we'll start migrating to the cloud. Your bandwidth bill is just going to be too high. And I think physical drives are the only way to do it. And so setting up that initial data is just going to mean transporting the stuff using traditional ways. And so we're still going to have clients that go down to Costco and fill up shopping carts full of hard drives. And that seems a little weird to me, you know, being that we're moving into cloud computing area. But the bandwidth just isn't going to improve that much until then. And that seems to be the way of the world.
Yeah.
Well, if we're worried about encryption and worried about stealing data, I guess we'll hire services that'll drive our data to the cloud provider, which also seems a little weird.
Yeah, it's funny. So, you know, the technology's got so advanced, but yet there's this use case where, you know, we're still sending the mailman on the horse.
Well, evidently, this company iDrive is looking to address that. I think they may have a viable business. It seems weird, you know, that a high-tech startup would be focused on just transporting data. But based on what I see, it absolutely makes sense. So yep. Sorry, Mike, what'd you say?
I just said, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so go out and get your basket full of hard drives at Costco so you can transfer your data to the cloud. I'm sure you'll need them at some point. So please pick up a copy of my book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence, which you can find on Softback on Amazon as well as on the Kindle. And make sure to read my blog on InfoWorld and GigaOm Pro. Also, please don't forget to go to www.cloudtp.com for current cloud news and links to this podcast and more ways to contact us directly. Twitter address at David Linthicum, LINTHICUM. And Mike, you're still at Mad Greek?
Yes, I am. I'm always a Mad Greek.
Always Mad Greek. Not Mad Geek.
Mad Greek not 65.
Mad Greek 65.
Yep.
Make sure you tweet Mike. Mike has some great tweets out there and follows the market and read his content out there as well. Also, please make sure to support our host, TechTarget. Make sure to read my content there as well as some great research, reporting, and events. And please go to searchcloudcomputing.techtarget.com for more information. And please make sure to hit that site daily with some great news and information on the cloud computing space. So until next week, best of luck in building your cloud computing solutions. We'll be back in about 7 days. You guys take great care. Bye-bye.